Let's hit it.
And welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I'm so excited that you're joining us today. We are going to have a fascinating conversation, as usual, as we learn from people all around the world at all ages and stages of life. Stay tuned as we shift our dementia care from crisis to comfort.
All right, here we go. What you think about?
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I believe I've got my co-host with me, but let me see. Kathy, are you there? I'm going to check and see if you're here yet. Got one number that's just not doing much of anything. Let me try this one. Kathy, are you on this number? Hello? Well, this will be interesting if our calls don't work today. So I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to ask people who have called in if they want to talk to go ahead and hang up and call back in. For whatever reason, time is not clicking off like it should be in the studio here, and I don't have a whole lot of control. That is a Blog Talk Radio thing. So let me go ahead and do our introductions while we're going and trying to figure out what's going on with the system here. Full moon just the other day, so I guess I shouldn't be too surprised with all of this. Bottom line, Alzheimer's Speaks is about sound information, not just sound bites. We really want to have true conversations with people because we think word of mouth and storytelling is really the best factor and the best way that we can connect with other people. And so we like to raise everybody's voice all around the world. That includes those people living with dementia, their family, their friends. We have authors, we have researchers, we have community businesses, different types of products. Everybody is welcome on the show. And so again, you can call in today. This is open mic at 323-870-4602. That's 323-870-4602. And I'm just going to try to see if we can pull Kathy in one more time. Kathy, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Woo-woo, we did it. It still is being functioning in the system here. For those of you who aren't familiar with Kathy Braxton, she is an absolutely amazing woman who has been in the industry for a long time in all different types of angles. And she has a group called, I'm going to go crazy here, Improv for Caregivers. Correct, Kathy?
That's right.
Okay, I'm a little jumbled here because of our lack of connection, trying to multitask.
Okay, that's all right.
Yep, yeah, well, you got to go with the flow. why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself? That might be the best route to go in terms of what you offer in terms of services, and I'll get myself together at this end, and I see we've got another caller on the line as well, and today this is just kind of an open flow type thing. We like to hear what's going on out in the public and what you think is important, what's going right, what's going wrong, what do we need, what do we have, all of those types of things. And again, you can call in to 323-870-4602, and we'll pull you in as we go. But Kathy, I'm going to pass it back over to you to just talk a little bit about what you offer people and how you got into this this realm of the world.
Thanks. Okay, yeah, so I have a company called Improv for Caregivers. I've been in the aging industry, as Lori said, a little over 25 years. I've almost exclusively always worked with older adults and their caregivers, whether they're personal or family caregivers, and specifically residents and patients who are living with dementia. So that is my specialty. And what I do with Improv for Caregivers is I focus solely on communication. I don't talk about necessarily disease process or progress. I don't talk about aging issues per se. What I focus on solely is how we can communicate best with the person that's living with dementia to make meaningful moments. Because with those with dementia, we only have moment to moment. Sometimes we have a minute to capture. Sometimes we have a couple minutes to capture. And to me, the way in which we approach somebody, really anybody, but in specific, the way we approach somebody who has dementia is key to having successful moments with them, having them help us help them, and having them have a great moment of joy with you. And so it's all about communication. And I do use the four rules, there's many rules, but four basic rules of improv to help people understand and really grasp some great communication techniques. And the reason I utilize improv is because any person can grasp onto the concepts regardless of age, education, whether you've ever done this before or not. And as I said, it works with any age, so it's fascinating that we can involve our kids in this process, that the communication and connection doesn't have to be just put on one caregiver and their shoulders. This can be something we can all shoulder together as care partners. And by utilizing improv techniques, I teach everybody in the family how to use those techniques together, so we can have great moments with each other and with the person that we're taking care of.
Love that. I absolutely love the work that you do. I'm going to go ahead and see who we have on the line here right now. Again, if you are living with dementia, caring for somebody, family or professional, have a service product or tool, we'd love to hear from you. And again, the call-in number is 323-870-4602. We have somebody from a 0943 number. 0943, you are live and on the air. Do you want to give us your name and why you're calling in?
Hi, yes. My name is Danielle Spar, and I am a caregiver for my father who has Alzheimer's. And so I created a children's book because I'm a children's book author. And so I created this book in order to open the conversations and help parents kind of bring the conversation up. It's set in like a detective series and kid-friendly, not scary, that kind of thing. But, yeah, and I've been trying to just get awareness out about it because 50% of the proceeds are going to be going to Alzheimer's Association, our local chapter where I live.
Wonderful. What age bracket is this for again, Danielle?
It's for like 6-year-olds to 10-year-olds. It's a chapter book with I kind of think of like Junie B. Jones. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it has, you know, a couple illustrations per chapter, but you know, no more than 85 pages. And it is part of a series, but yeah, it's about PJ's perplexing predicament, and Logan and Emily have to find PJ, who nobody can seem to find. So just trying to, you know, make it where kids can kind of see the effects of Alzheimer's and get the conversation going.
Wonderful. That's fantastic. Kathy, what are your thoughts on the need for a book for kids? 6 to 10 years old. What are your thoughts?
I think it's awesome. I think, you know, I was raised as a kid. My mom took me to the nursing home all the time to visit my grandma. So I've never been afraid of adults who are aging. It never was something that scared me. And I think that's something that we see a lot, is that older adults, adult children kind of keep their kids at arm's length from the older parent or grandparent that's aging and going through this kind of stuff. And I don't know if we do it to protect them or if we're afraid they're going to be scared. We just don't know how to teach them how to communicate with each other and how to have that moment. And I think that you writing this kind of book and bringing it full circle and starting to include the kids in this, I think, is a fantastic idea. I think there's a lot of good children's books out there. And I'm particularly happy that yours has some illustrations, and it's kind of a detective story, so it's going to grasp them. Because really, we can't avoid this topic anymore. It's out there all the time. I feel like every movie or sitcom I turn on, at some point in time, there's somebody and an older adult who's living with some memory impairment, and we're going to have these conversations are going to come up. The kids are going to say, what is that? Is that what grandma's mm-hmm. going through? I think it's fantastic that you're taking that route. Education is so important, and including them and not not just including them, but just that infusion of this is part of our life. We're going to do this together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great.
Yep.
Yeah, I do too.
Thank you so much.
I don't think we can have enough books out there to educate. Mm-hmm. I know when I was growing up, and I was like 13 when I first ran across this with my great aunt. And I was just told, well, that's what happens when people get old. And again, that was a long time ago. That was like 50 years ago for me. But still, families still are very protective. And I think some of it has to do with they don't know what to say because they're really not sure what it is or how it's going to progress or what to expect. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to do with all of the prior negative advertising of this, that, you know, everyone's mm-hmm. just a shell of a body, it's end stages, and there's so much we're finding out, and early diagnosis is becoming more and more important. Yet I know that we are, you know, even though our numbers are huge, I think they're still extremely mm-hmm. low because I think there's so many people that aren't diagnosed because they don't want the stigma and the fear wrapped
right.
in that. I think the other thing with involving kids is they can be a great catalyst to healing and connection,
mm-hmm.
especially the yeah. littler ones, because they, you know, they don't know, they haven't been taught what it's supposed to look like yet at that point, you
right.
know, and they don't have these projected limits of what somebody can and can't do. They just want to play. They just want to engage. They just want to have fun. And
yeah.
I think that's all about being in the moment and understanding that we're all different in many different ways, if we've got dementia or not, coming to an acceptance of that instead of trying to,
yeah.
you know, for so long in society. And again, I'm much older than I'm sure you are, Danielle, but, you know, I grew up and there was the Stepford Wives, and I don't know if you've ever heard of that, mm-hmm. but it was a TV show of a community
yep.
that everybody was supposed to be perfect. Everyone was supposed to be the same.
Yep.
You didn't show anything mm-hmm. negative. And I think with social media, you know, that's, you know, even gotten more profound and people feel that pressure. And yet none mm-hmm. of us are perfect or live in that world 24/7. And so yeah. I think from a mental health standpoint, too, that your book will be
yeah.
very healthy from that gamut as well. So whereabouts
yeah.
are you
yeah.
in the process with the book?
It is. Yep. It is completely written and edited and illustrated. So I'm starting a Kickstarter October 1st to basically help with the printing of it. And I like, you know, what you were saying, we moved in with my folks to help them. And I still have a teenage son at home. And one of the things that I put in the book on purpose was in the back, little tips on how you can talk to a person with Alzheimer's. And I did a bunch of research because it is true. If they know how to talk to them, it makes it so much easier. And I think I have friends that are in the same category. And I think they were trying to protect also their loved one because they didn't want to upset them if the kids, you know, were like, well, what's wrong with you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if the kids realize, you know, what's going on and, okay, we don't say maybe, oh, come on, don't you remember? And, you know, in the book I say, we just say, oh, remember when we did this? To just give them some prompts too, because I didn't know. I was saying all the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
I did the research.
Well,
so, yeah,
I think it's
excited.
Awesome. I think, you know, two things, you know, it struck me is I've never seen older adults light up more than when
mm-hmm.
a child is present. And so when
yep.
we can bring them into the fold, we actually are doing everybody a favor by actually just creating this moment of joy, because older adults can't help but smile and laugh when they see small children. They just, it just does bring them happiness. So it's like a gift that we've, I think, sometimes withheld, you know, for a lot of reasons. And I think the second thing is, you know, you tapped on this concept of we hold families, you know, families sometimes hold their kids at arm's length, and Stepford-wise, everybody has to be the same. And I think we're doing our families, our children, even a disservice when we think in context of, I don't want my child to remember grandma like this. So I'm going to keep my child at home, and they're not going to see how grandma's deteriorating, because I don't want my child to remember her like that. And I hear that a lot. And I think we're doing our families a disservice, because if we lack that awareness that people change and age and grow, then we're kind of withholding information from them that's going to come out eventually, you know? And I think that opens up a conversation of, yes, people age, people change, things can happen. This can happen to anybody. You know, even a friend of theirs who becomes very sick, you know, they're going to change, if someone, a young child with cancer. And so having this opportunity where you have an older adult that you can introduce this into, then opens up that space for them to have acceptance of change in people and the life expectancy, the lifespan. I'm really glad you're doing this. I see so many levels of where it should hit. It hopefully will hit families, and they will rush to buy your book because they see that benefit.
Well, and
thank
I would
you. Even hope.
Go ahead. That's okay. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, you know, one thing that I've, from moving in, I've noticed too is there's a certain attitude or way that older ones, just in general, are treated like out in the public. And it changes, you know, some will have little business cards that they just slip, you know, to the waiter, say, just says, please be patient, my you know, father has Alzheimer's. And then that changes their demeanor, where it's like they should be patient to begin with. And I think that's kind of one of the results of us not having our kids around the older ones, because I know, you know, my son had to adjust too, you know, things take longer, you know, and things like that. And then your eyes are open that we need to show these older ones, our elderly, love and patience, just like we did when the kids were little, you know? And so hopefully that message gets across too.
I totally agree with you on that. I think it's extremely important. We need to teach kids empathy and compassion in the world. I mean, I look around and it's like everything is, you know, my way or the highway. That's not real life. You know, that it creates too much friction, so much drama, and you're seeing the mental health of people at all ages decline. And so we have to help create this this community of support and acceptance, and that you are okay exactly how you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, no matter what you're dealing with, that we can still live graciously together in this world. And we should all be able to feel pride and feel engaged and connected and loved, and even more importantly, safe. And a lot of times that safety goes out the window when you know, especially as someone's progressing with the disease, you know, they're looking at our nonverbals and those glances, or those, you know, crossed arms and raised brows or rolling eyes have huge impact on people. And and yet so many think that they're overlooked or they're not noticed, or, you know, they don't have the wherewithal to pick that up. But I think realistically it's more that we as society don't have the wherewithal to even know we're doing it. You know, we're not conscious of a lot of those things that are happening. So kudos to you. Is there a website that you want to give out, or a Facebook page, or email or some kind of contact?
Yeah, that'd be great. My Instagram, where I do a lot of posts, is dcspar with two A's, S-P-A-A-R. And my website, I do have connected to my Kickstarter, so it's DC Spar Books, so DCSPAAR, and then books.com. And I have some funny videos, you know, of just us and as a family. And I took my mom and dad back to Boston to see their family. And it was great. It was great to see them remember old memories because, of course, they stay longer. And one of the rewards on the Kickstarter that it made me think of is a memory book that will come with the book. And it's just a little book that I made so that they could put pictures of their loved one in them together and like write little reminders of just some happy times. And hopefully that'll help as well.
Oh, wonderful. Any other comments that you have, Kathy?
You know, I love the comment that you made about the little card, you know, please be patient. My loved one has Alzheimer's, you know, when you're at the restaurant. And I think what you're doing by hitting this age group with this book is you're going to set them up for success, you know, because in 5-10 years when they are ready for their first job and it is at, you know, mm-hmm. the local diner or wherever that might be, you are going to be doing a great service for them by setting them up for success. And like you're saying, that's going to be the waiter that's going to approach a table and is going to look at someone and immediately go, this could be just like my grandma I learned about, my grandma mm-hmm. that I loved. And I'm going to employ the communication and the empathy that I learned from my parents because they let me buy this book and they read it to me and talked to me and included me. And that's, mm-hmm. that's great because we do need to set up, you know, these kids now, we need to hit them now so that when they do hit the workforce, they're going to be hitting mm-hmm. all kinds of people and more older adults in the future than ever before. So to prepare mm-hmm. them and specifically hit them with this spot of empathy, like Lori said, where they're coming immediately from a place of compassion, and we don't have to be slipping people cards to excuse ourselves for not mm-hmm. being perfect. That, you know, that these people, that the those that read your book, hopefully many of them, are going to be really well-suited in the near future for their high school careers and, you know, and those first jobs mm-hmm. and so on. I think that's fantastic.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in, Danielle, and good luck. Keep us posted when that when your book actually launches. We'd love to have you
yeah.
be part of Dementia Map as well and get that listed there. So people can
okay,
find
great.
That. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. For those of you that aren't familiar with Dementia Map, it's a global resource directory. Access is free. You don't have to set up an account or a password. We have about 150 categories in there. People are really enjoying especially the activities category, where there is so much available online to kind of help with respite at home if you're a family or in community where a lot of times they're short-staffed and looking for ideas to be able to keep those living with dementia engaged and feeling purposeful. Kathy, any particular topic you're interested in covering today? Well, again, call in and people are more than welcome to join us in the conversation at 323-870-4602. That's 323-870-4602. And in the meantime, Kathy and I are going to fill the air because, my gosh, there's so much to talk about when it comes to dementia, especially this month being World Alzheimer's Month. And on the 21st was World Alzheimer's Day. And the new report just came out from Alzheimer's Disease International. We could go on for a week probably talking straight, but we won't do that to you. We're only on the air for an hour, so feel free to call in and join us. Any hot topics for you, Kathy?
So I'm working on a project right now, and one of the things that I've was disengaged from last year, which I'm now inundated with, is, and obviously, you know, maybe more than last year or more than even in the spring, is the Delta variant and COVID and COVID vaccines, and how is that affecting residents who are living with dementia who are housed in senior living?
Mm-hmm.
It is, and I don't want to take a political stance. I can talk out of both sides of my mouth out of this one, but my goodness, is it wrecking havoc. And I know everyone has probably read the news or listened to, you know, different podcasts about it. I mean, it's not just the staff shortage that is hitting people hard, but I know that right now there's big discussions and some decisions that have been made very recently about mandating the vaccine for all staff who work in nursing home settings. And like I said, I can talk out of both sides of my mouth out of this one, because in one way, I think that that's a great idea because we're working with very vulnerable people. On the other hand, I hear a lot of different people talk about they feel that, you know, that's a right of theirs that they don't want taken away. And, you know, if terminations are coming down the pipeline because of that, because of their choice not to be vaccinated, we're going to see an even bigger issue with staffing and staffing shortages. And it is, it's a tough one to walk. It's a hard line to walk. And it's, I've been in facilities recently where, I mean, there isn't even a reason to do your hair or your makeup in the morning because you're wearing goggles, face shields, the mask, the gown, the gloves. You're so dialed up with all this stuff. And it is so unfortunate that when you're working with somebody with dementia with all of this garb on, they can't see your face. They can't read your lips. They can't as clearly see your facial expressions. And it's sad because I personally miss a lot of opportunities to connect with somebody, and I get a lot of frustrated feedback from residents that I work with because they can't understand me because they can't see me fully. But the staffing shortages, this is a rough go for a lot of people, and I'm sure a lot of family members are concerned about that too, whether they are at home caring for somebody and thinking about nursing home care, or they have somebody currently in care, you know, just trying to be there more frequently, more often if you can, and if your facility isn't in lockdown, you know, to just do those visits and have eyes on your loved one. And it's a scary time.
You know, it is. I saw just a headline of an article and I didn't catch it all, but I thought what it said today was only 1% of senior housing is fully staffed. And like you said,
I know.
And I'm not quite sure if I caught that all because I was kind of on the fly this morning, but that's what caught my attention. And I wouldn't be surprised. And fully staffed could be your 99.9% full too. So, you know, or 98.9% full. So keep that in mind as well. But it is real out there. The stress that people are under is unbelievable, the polarization, the shift in how a team functions when people all aren't in the same building. I mean, there's so many layers of things going on. And then you have people that want to be at work and can't be at work because they're not comfortable maybe with their kids in the school system or their kids are on an online system and they have to be there to assist them with that. So, you know, I know there's a lot of talk, people are just lazy and they won't go back to work. But there are so many levels of what is going on that people truly aren't considering, or just the fact that it's not just about them. It's about who they interact with and how vulnerable are they willing to risk that. And I don't think a lot of times that that's given a whole lot of value. And I know for me, that's very important and something that needs to be, I believe, needs to be respected. You know, people value the people in their life.
I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like there's a heavy amount of talk about you're going to lose staff if you mandate a vaccine. Mm-hmm. But the reality is how many nursing-capable employees are out there that have been waiting for this to happen so that they know they're working with fully vaccinated staff and they feel safer re-entering the workforce now because they have to come home to a chronically ill child or a chronically ill parent. And they've been holding off, like you're saying, you know, we don't talk about that other side of the spectrum. We do. We need to respect what someone is going to be potentially taking home and who are they taking it home to? And will a mandate of a vaccine make them feel safer to reenter? So there's both sides of that for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to pull in a caller here, and we can always come back to that conversation if we need to. This caller is from a 2108 number, 2108. You are live and on the air. Do you mind sharing your name and why you're calling in? Hello? From a 2108 number? And sometimes people call in just to listen in this mode, and other times people have a comment. I can hear somebody on the other end of the line. I'll say one more time. Hello? Hello?
I'm just listening.
Oh, you're just listening. Okay, well, thank you. I'll go ahead and put you back on mute then. I just wanted to make sure in case you had a comment or a question that we pulled you in. Okay, thank you.
So we'll go
back to our conversation. But before we do that, I just want to give a shout out to a couple of organizations. One is Care During COVID. At Rice University. It's actually the project called Project CARE, and they are doing a study on stress, which is kind of right up the alley here. And you can, again, reach out to them at Care During COVID at Rice University. It's a survey where they'll either email or text you short questions throughout the day. They're trying to figure out what our levels of stress are. There certain trigger times or things that are happening, and you can actually be compensated up to $255 for participating in this study. In order to be eligible, you have had to have been caring for somebody for 4 hours a day within the last 3 months. So, Kathy, anything more that you want to say on our topic of COVID and staffing and care?
Oh, God. I guess I would say it just as a piece of advice, unsolicited or not, you know, if you are looking for nursing care for a loved one, you know, I would just say, you know, the facilities that you tour, if they are transparent about the fact that they have staffing shortages, I think that's a really good sign. Because it's the reality and it's the truth. And like Lori said, if what you read is true, and again, I don't doubt it either, only 1% of the senior living communities out there are fully staffed. That means that probably every facility you're going to go to is having a staffing shortage issue. And, you know, I would just say, to me, transparency is key. When you feel like you've walked into a facility and whoever's touring you and talking to you and giving you information is being honest with you and not blowing smoke, I think that's a really good sign, because any facility who's trying to hide the fact that they're short-staffed is probably hiding more than just that. So that's my little public service announcement on how to tour a facility in the midst of Delta variants. You know, and when they can be transparent, say, yeah, we're short-staffed and we're doing everything we can and we've got all hands on deck and we bring agency in and, you know, we're definitely compensating our staff for them staying over and we understand the stresses we're under and we'd love for you to continue to visit as long as possible for, you know, as many times as you can to help us compensate with that. I think that transparency goes a long way. I think families want to hear that. Because who wants to admit their parents or their loved one into a building and then find out, you know, and they read an article like Lori did today and they go, oh, my God, I had no clue that the building mom is in now, you know, is so short-staffed that then no one said anything to me. I think that's the last thing anybody wants to have is to feel like they've been slighted, feel like they've had the wool pulled over their eyes. And again, I believe fully that, you know, transparency, although it doesn't sound really good, it is our reality, and then it keeps everybody on the same page.
I agree. And, you know, they shouldn't be in my opinion, ashamed or shocked that they're short-staffed. This is just the reality we live in. I mean, I go to my Caribou Coffee, and I never know if they're going to be open or not. Or, you know, if they're going to have the supplies they need to make me the drink that I want. You know, the other day they were out of, you know, they were out of milk chocolate for my mint condition. And the other day they were out of a sandwich that I wanted. And it's because they're not open. They don't have the staffing and the manpower to do this. What's causing it? You know, we don't know. And I think part of the fear with all of this shortness too, is it because it's a COVID outbreak? Is it because they really can't get staff? You know, what is behind all of this? And there's a lot of questions as to, you know, why is that? I was on somebody's site just the other day, and I loved that on their main page they had COVID communications, and it was updated up exactly what are their policies. What can you expect if you want to take a tour? How is that happening if you want to visit? And it was very detailed and very upfront. And personally, I'd like to see that on every single community's homepage.
Yes.
And just take
yes.
the spooky
I,
out.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I frequented a restaurant, and there was a sign on the front and said, every place in this town is short-staffed. Please be patient with us. We can't wait to serve you. And I went in to get my soup, and I told them I was really impressed with the fact that they had a sign up, you know, mm-hmm. because it is just like you're saying, we're setting people up from the step into the door, whether it's a restaurant or the nursing home. These are the things we have as expectations, and we want to set those expectations for you as well. And when an organization and family caregivers can be on the same page, that's when you have success.
Yep.
And I agree with you. I drove 8 minutes to work today, and I counted 14 places that had help wanted signs, and they were random, all different kinds of.
Mm-hmm.
It is everywhere. It's just we are getting a lot of news and information about how it's hitting healthcare, because that has been the topic for the last 18 months.
Yep.
How do we take care of those who need to be taken care of?
Yep, exactly. And again, we've got to be patient. And I know I'm not always as gracious as I should be, even when I go to, you know, a restaurant or go through my little drive-through, and I've had to go to 3 stores to be able to get what I want. And again, that's not good on my part. That's not being real. I should know that heading out the door, and I should be grateful for those who are open. And again, it's not that they don't want to be open and that they don't want to serve. It's just we're in some really dynamic times, and we need to be much more gracious than what we are. And we have to go in with our eyes open in terms of what does that mean, you know, to all of us. And how can we support these businesses? And even when it comes to communities, maybe there's ways of volunteering where even if you don't want to enter the building, maybe there's things you can do to help reduce the load. Even there was one woman who I just adore, who's a coach actually on Dementia Map, and she was just writing thank you notes to them. And I thought, what a beautiful way to go in and make a difference. And again, because they don't get that appreciation all that often. I mean, most of us would say none of us get that appreciation that we'd like as often as we would. But Sue Ryan, again, is she's a coach and a business professional in the realm of dementia. Her husband is living in a community, and that's her way of trying to make things a little bit better, reduce maybe a little stress on staff. Or some people are even, you know, being pen pals to residents and just writing back and forth to engage them so they don't feel as lonely. So there are things that we can do to maybe make communities a little more comfortable during this really difficult time as well with that.
Yeah.
I think that
transparency amongst the families and the staff that work there, I think that I'm kind of been looking at this a little bit, I wonder if there is a correlation there between when there is that transparency and we're trying to keep everybody on the same page, and is it related to a reduction then in compassion fatigue amongst the staff?
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things I've seen a lot is when we don't set expectations up for family members as to what they should be expecting and experiencing in a long-term care facility or senior living, and then they move their family member in, what they had expected and what a facility can actually provide, there's a huge gap sometimes in between those two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that big gap that the staff is having to fill in constantly throughout the day, whether it's fielding phone calls and answering questions or trying to do conflict resolution with a really unhappy family member. And I wonder if oftentimes we set our own selves up in facilities for this huge gap because we aren't straightforward and transparent with what's going on in this building right now. COVID, dementia, it's senior care with staffing shortages, whatever it might be. I think that we create this big gap, and then that is what I think eventually leads to a lot of compassion fatigue for staff because
mm-hmm.
they're just exhausted. And then, you know, obviously there a lot of staff are just dealing with this compassion fatigue because it's been 18 months. They've been in facilities where, you know, COVID has been running crazy and they don't want to, and Delta is scary now. It's ramping back up. We're starting to see it in nursing homes again. And I think staff is like, I can't do this again. I don't know if I can go through this again.
Yep. Well, same in our hospitals and our clinics. And, you know, I have a neighbor who's dealing with cancer, and they're trying to, you know, go to the emergency room. And then finally, I mean, sometimes they're waiting almost a full day to be able to get a room in a hospital. And then they need to go to transitional care, and they have to stay in the hospital because there's no openings in transitional care. You know, and I'm in Minnesota, but I know that that's common all over, and that's exhausting when you are basically worried in this life and death issue, and you know people don't want to see what happened before happen again, you know, in our community.
Yeah.
and yet you know, not everybody is willing to say, you know, I'll wear a mask or I'll follow the rules because of, you know, this is going to help the greater good or get vaccinated. I mean, we're so politically divided in so many ways, and many don't understand the, like you said, the fatigue and the stress of these people really carrying the world right now and caring for
right.
people. And it's massively, massively huge, you know,
yeah.
to be able to work in that type of environment. So, I mean, I think we really have to take our hats off to them. I do want to do a couple of more shout-outs here, and then we've got another caller on the line here. But Gina was going to call in from the Bob and Diane Fund, and in fact, that's who's on our line. So let me – this is hilarious. I was just going to talk about him, but I will – hi, Gina. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. Thank you.
I was just going to do a shout-out to you, but I'll let you shout-out yourself what you guys are up to.
Thank you. So for those who are not familiar with, first of all, my name is Gina Martin, and I founded the Bob and Diane Fund in 2016, and it is a nonprofit named after my parents, Bob and Diane. My mother had Alzheimer's and died. Now it'll be 10 years. And my father, who took care of her through her illness, died just 3 months later. And I wanted to name this after both of them because Alzheimer's affected both of them. And what we do is we give grants to photographers who are working on stories related to Alzheimer's or dementia. And that is to bring a visual awareness to a disease that is so misunderstood. And we've given 5 grants in the last 5 years to photographers from all over the world, from Iran to Sweden to the U.S. and the U.K. And We are accepting submissions right now. We always open up submissions at September, October, and we announce the winner in November for National Caregivers Month. So we are asking for submissions from professional or amateur photographers who have a project of a loved one or someone they know who has a form of dementia. And we will judge that work and give a $5,000 grant in November to them.
Okay, wonderful. That is fantastic. So how do they get a hold of you if they're interested? We got to make sure we give that information out. I love the creativity of what is going on right now and the vision of how do we expand awareness and show that life can still be beautiful within this disease.
Yes.
I just absolutely love that. So thank you for doing that first of all.
Oh, thank you. So many of our winners, I mean, they've done such different projects, and some are very personal. Some are, people they don't know, and they've got a project on them. But some are, you know, heart-wrenching, and some are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all just, you know, the ugly side of dementia. And I truly believe, I worked at National Geographic for 21 years, and I do believe that visual storytelling does make a difference and can make an impact and can change perceptions and policy and help someone have empathy and understanding to something that they don't know or understand. Because I think if you haven't lived with dementia in close to you, you don't understand what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we do show all of our grantees' work on our website, which also is where you can apply for the grant. And it's just bobanddianefund.org. Again, it's bobanddianefund.org. And we are on social media as well, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we get a lot of submissions every year, and we just love seeing all the different work that is out there.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, when you announce, do you only announce the winners, or is there a place for, you know, other applicants as well that are named? And, how do you announce that?
So the Washington Post announces our winner every year. And as of now, we've only announced the winner.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some other opportunities for runner-ups, but it's nothing set in stone. And if I feel real strongly about another project, we will work with, you know, to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one project a few years ago, the Washington Post did publish that work as well. And we've done other types of contests where we did a photo contest for people living with the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And we had three winners, and we shared all of those on the Washington Post published all of those. So
we're doing
different things and doing a mentorship where we also get that work published. So my goal is, because I worked for National Geographic for so long, I have many connections in the publishing world, and my goal is to really just get the work out there in every corner of the world. People can, you know, see it and experience it and hopefully do something.
Oh, that's fantastic. Kathy, any comments on this? I love this.
I do, too. I love, you know, a picture does say 1,000 words, doesn't it? And I think that
it
this
does.
Is probably the first one. Yeah, it's the first one I've heard of where, you know, we're hitting people on a visual level to enhance empathy and help them understand better what caregivers are going through and what the person with dementia, you know, what do they look like? And they don't look any different from any other grandma or grandpa in a lot of ways. And you know, for me, I get to work with people who have dementia every single day, and they are some of the most beautiful, literally beautiful people in the world. And some of the most fabulous conversations we have is, what is your skin cream regimen? Because, my God,
yes.
You're 89 and you're gorgeous. And, you know, when you talk about this, I think of the images of a resident who was crying yesterday. And, you know, we just wrapped our arms around each other and she cried on my shoulder. And that was a beautiful moment. It was picture perfect. It was a beautiful moment.
Yes.
It's what caregivers need to embrace.
And it could be a sad moment. Yeah, it could be a sad moment, but also beautiful.
Beautiful,
exactly.
Because it's that embracing, it's that love, it's that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you're recognizing talent in the visual realm, because I think so many people learn differently and can tap into their empathy in a different way. And this is the first one I've heard where it's visual. I think that's fabulous. I think we've been missing this, so this is great.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for calling in. I am just thrilled that you called in, Gina, to share again with us. Why don't you give people that website one more time, if you don't mind?
Sure. It's BobAndDianeFund.org, and that's BobAndDianeFund.org. It's Diane with just one N. I know people spell it differently. But, yes, thank you. I'm so glad I was able to make this.
Yeah, me too. And it was, like I said, perfect timing because I was just thinking of calling you in, so we must add a little ESP going on there.
Yes,
so,
great.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Gina, and best of luck. And please let us know when you announce. We'd love to help push that out as well. Okay?
Thank you. And let me just say one more time. I don't know if I said it. The deadline for submissions is October 31st, Halloween.
Okay.
So they're open now through October 31st.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for mentioning that. Appreciate it very much. Have a wonderful
week.
Thank you. Okay? Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, it's always fun to hear different things going on. I do want to just give a shout-out to Arthur's Memory Cafe. We are doing virtual cafes still on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month at 1 o'clock Central Time. And if you're interested, reach out to me. Also working with Brookdale Senior Living of North Oaks, and we're doing a Caregiver Connect support group, which is live and in person at 10 a.m. at the Shoreview Parks and Rec Community Center, and anybody is welcome to attend that. And then I also want to give a shout out to the Footbar Walker. If you go to Dementia Map and put them in, you'll see there's a $50 coupon, so you can get one of their walkers. It's absolutely fantastic because it decreases injury for both the person you're caring for and the care partner themselves. It's only $199, so please go check out the Footbar Walker, just a wonderful, wonderful tool. And then I also want to mention that Compassion and Choices is having their annual event October 6th. So if you are thinking about dealing with end-of-life issues, they have all kinds of great examples on their site. In fact, they have a tool specific for dementia. And even if you don't have dementia, it's a good thing to think about because odds are we all could come down with it. And just have that in your healthcare directive. Just in case, look at those options. I can't believe our time is almost up already, so I just want to sneak in a couple more of these. The Brain Donor Project, braindonorproject.org, no cost to have a brain autopsy. They both need healthy and diseased brains, so please think about that. And then on October 27th through, October 27th, November 3rd and 10th, the Plymouth International Virtual Dementia Conference is on, and it's about the challenge and solutions in a COVID world. It's free to anybody. I'll be posting more about that. I'm just waiting for a graphic. I'll be speaking on the 27th, which is a Wednesday on that one, but they've got lots of great speakers from all over. And also another international conference, Together for Dementia, which is being sponsored by the dementia research charity BRACE. That's going to be on November 2nd, and I do have information up on alzheimerspeaks.com with that. So, Kathy, anything else that you wanted to cover? We got about 5 minutes left. This time just blows by so fast. It just kills me sometimes.
No, I loved what was talked about with the Bob and Diane Foundation. I think that what we need to do is kind of start to keep our eyes open for different ways that we can, you know, really help anybody in our families grasp on to empathy, compassion, better ways to communicate, better ways to understand what's going on and how to interact with somebody. And it's interesting that this came up as a visual because my son recently introduced me to something that was completely auditory in regards to, it was a project done called Everywhere at the End of Time, and it's by James Leland Kirby. It's a very long musical piece. I think it's like 6 hours, but it's broken up into sections, and the intention of it is as you go through each section, you experience auditorily what it might feel like to be living with a form of dementia. And it's the first I have ever experienced where it's got this huge auditory piece to it. And it's interesting because for my son, that is what he found this on YouTube. He brought it to my attention. He's been fascinated by it. Had me listen to it. It took large chunks of time to do that, to get through it. And it's interesting because for him, his empathy and feelings about understanding forms of dementia really came from listening. Whereas you are going to have other people in your life where they may tap better into, like the Bob and Diane Foundation, where it's imagery and pictures. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that book that we spoke about earlier, how, you know, it's reading. It's sitting with maybe with a parent and reading and then having a discussion. So we all learn so differently, and I'm just so happy to hear, I don't even know if you meant to have this happen today, but that, you know, your discussion today really just brought together so many different realms of education and empathy induction, but from all different sensory perspectives, and I think that's mm-hmm. super cool.
Yeah, and it is fun to see more and more of that coming about all the time. I do want to give a mention to the Administration for Community Living. Their RAISE program, which stands for Recognize, Assist, Include, Support, and Engage, Family Caregivers just came out with a report, and it's talking about how to improve support for family caregivers. So, you know, people can go ahead and just Google that and check that out. Also, I don't know if you saw, but Bill Gates just came out with an article the other day about why he feels optimistic about the future of Alzheimer's research. And there's some interesting comments on there. And one of them talks about, you know, should early diagnosis, is this something we should really push when we don't have a cure yet? Are we really helping people by letting them, labeling them, I guess, with that diagnosis if there isn't support out there for them? And I thought that was really kind of a fascinating thing. So, again, you can just Google that. And please feel free to reach out to me at radio@AlzheimerSpeaks if you have topics that you would like us to cover, if you think you should be a guest, or maybe you know someone that should be a guest on our show. We try to do these shows twice a week from on Tuesday and Thursday, typically launch at 1 o'clock, though this month I snuck in a lot of third shows because it was World Alzheimer's Month. But feel free to reach out to me. We want to hear from you. And Kathy, do you want to give people your contact information as well?
Sure. The best way to get a hold of me, I have a phone number, but of course I can never remember my own phone number. So the best way to get a hold of me is either send me a direct email, which is improv4caregivers@gmail.com. And my website is the same. It's improv4caregivers.com. You're welcome to reach out to me, send me a message through the website, send me a message via email. I will connect with you. Would love to hear how family members are doing, communication techniques that are and aren't working, if you need any suggestions. I love to help families along as any way I can, because communication and approach, I think, is number one in regards to making those moments of connection.
I totally agree. And I want to thank our listeners. And again, you can always go to alzheimerspeaks.com for more information and watch, because hopefully in the next month, we're going to be launching our new site, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be much easier to find so many more things that we offer in a much easier fashion. Until next week, have a blessed week. And we appreciate you listening. Feel free to like and share. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Suzanne Newman, host of the Answers for Elders podcast and radio show. We are the North Star that guides you through the complicated journey of senior care with trusted experts in money, law, living solutions, and more. So join us on this station, your favorite podcast channel, or just go to answersforelders.com. Meet the way showers who will help your journey go a lot easier.